and welcome to Life in the Rabbit Hole, the Kaneo Parent Pod. I'm Lori Carice, a fellow parent living in the Kaneo Valley, and your host. Thank you for tuning in. For parent pod tales, community matters, and social topics, which include plenty of wellness content. Parenting is not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's as difficult as much as it's rewarding, and we've all heard from the beginning of this journey, it takes a village. So join us as we connect through Life in the Rabbit Hole. For everyone, everywhere. Hello and welcome to another episode of Life in the Rabbit Hole. Today's guest is Larry Klein, owner and founder of Camp Keystone in Agoura Hills and Team Play Events. This is my second recording with Larry, and he's become my go-to advocate in the summer camp space. So welcome back, Larry.
Welcome. Thank you. I'm glad to be back. Lori, how are you today?
Pretty good. Thank you for being here again. And so full transparency, I have invited several other summer camps to be featured on Life in the Rabbit Hole, and I simply do not hear back from them. I kind of sit and think, and I go to the why on that. And because I have always felt, you know, any kind of media coverage and opportunity to plug your business holds value. So what my suspicion is that, at least within this industry, is that they're not confident about what reopening may look like for them or their messaging for 2021 after a full year of shutdowns within the summer camp space. Is this possibly year two of no summer camp for them, possibly? I brought you here today because I know you've done so much in maintaining a presence in the community with so many phases of small gatherings, with offerings from summer camp tours, stay and play, Super Saturday events, 2020 experiences, and most of all, spring break camp, which was just this past month. I kind of want to talk to you about, you know, what you've learned from holding this space that assures you you can have a successful summer camp season where the experience is really there for the kids, even though this might look different this year. So let's kind of talk about that. Maybe what did you learn as an overall system in organizing spring break camp from your counselors, parents, and even from the kids?
A great question, Lori. Last year, I ran about 90 days at the park before the first of the year doing various family events and children's events. Then after the first of the year, we ran a number of programs targeted camp, Super Saturdays and a spring camp. And as much as I thought I was ready for camp, running these programs gave me such invaluable experience. I remember being up at the pool organizing the children there, and all of a sudden I looked around and I say, what happened here? How did it get so out of control so quick? And we quickly watched our policies and procedures and were able to develop many, many positive ways of enabling the kids and the counselors to feel like it's camp without the mask and the social distancing and the hand washing and all those things we need to do according to the LA County protocols and maintain that sense of community and joy and fun that camp is all about. So I was thrilled with the results of what we were able to accomplish with our youth programs. We learned a tremendous amount, and we really are experienced at this point in managing the counselors and the children. And also now the parents too, they have to be managed in some set of proper expectation.
I know that you have mentioned before that you are not necessarily COVID ready, but COVID experienced. Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about that too.
Yeah, that's the term I'm using with parents when I talk to them about it and show them the property. COVID ready is just, you know, having all the necessary, you know, sanitizers and the signs and everything else. It's relatively easy understanding the rules and making sure that the counselors understand the policies and procedures. But it doesn't help you in making sure you have a quality camp experience. For instance, when I ran our first camp with children and counselors, myself, like most camps, we have picnic tables, 8-foot picnic tables. And if you do the current protocol of 6 feet, at 1 8-foot picnic table, you can put 2 kids. Maybe at a 3-foot social distancing requirement, you could put 3 children. But if, even with 3 children at 1 table, I actually have enough tables to handle all that, but the kids are so spread out. And I saw kids sitting alone, not talking, not participating, looking isolated when we did this the first day. And I immediately said, this is not going to work. I mean, look at the lack of interaction. You'd often see like tables, and we put them in a square, and we had 8 kids per group. But on one side of the square, you'd have like 3 kids who are all part of a neighborhood cohort group or brothers and sisters or relatives. Then at the other side, you might have just one child, and they just looked and felt isolated. So with that experience, I said, what can I do as a camp owner? There was only one solution. We just built this week, individual tables for each child that we are now placing in a circle in our pavilion. We're also lowering the group size. According to the current protocols at summer camps, you're allowed to have, I think it's up to 14 children per group with a max of 2 staff. That's the way the current protocol works. Well, if you take 14 kids and 2 staff and put them in a circle, the circle is so big if you're social distance 6 feet apart. So I said to myself, I've got to fix this. This isn't going to work for me. So we're doing groups of 7 or 8, which is a comfortable number to put with our small little tables that are about 2 feet by 20 inches with their own little bench, all in a circle to sit and talk and be part of a group. And we used them at spring camp. We had 2 different ways of seating, and we tried it. And what a difference it made. It was just like camp again. And also by making these round, and circles represent camp. You think about campfires. It's just part of what camping is. Oftentimes you'll sit on the lawn and do a circle game. Duck, duck, goose is in a circle. You know, those kinds of things. So eating and sitting in a circle works really well for us at camp now. And it just felt better. It also enabled me to put more children under our large pavilion. I have a very beautiful pavilion at Camp Keystone. It's all covered, sound system built into it. I actually have a full misting system in there, and it's on concrete. And normally we could put 400 or 500 kids in there, you know, or adults even at our events. We're not going to do that with camp because of the social distancing requirements, but I can put 150, 200 kids comfortably under my pavilion, put my leaders on stage and sing and participate, do our activities, do our contests, our themed events, our skits, and everybody can participate and not be so spread out. So that's probably the biggest lesson I learned about how to manage this beyond the pool, which is the other area that can be tricky in terms of social distancing. But yeah, I when parents see our tables, they said, who thought of that? And I said, I did. Yay. Who built that? I said, I did. I built the prototypes. I like to do a little bit of carpentry. And we have these beautiful tables. And in fact, the tabletops, we are actually making chalkboards. And every week or every child will get a fresh package of chalk, and they can color their table in various colors. And at the end of the week, we'll clean it all off. And next week, they'll be able to do a new table full of designs as they sit there waiting or having lunch. So it's really kind of fun what we're doing with that. We've made it something very special.
I know another part, you know, of your business, maintaining staffing was a big top of mind, you know, for you. And that weighs on a lot of businesses, obviously, when they have to go through staffing changes and furloughs due to COVID-19, bringing back staff. I know that you have brought back, you know, a lot of counselors. They've been needed also for your spring break camp and your Super Saturdays, plus your open houses. So feedback from your counselors, are they also part of your process of, you know, what's going well, what isn't going well? They have that direct interaction with the kids. How important is their feedback to you?
Oh, it's a critical, obviously, and we're working really hard on staffing as all camps do every year. You try to find the best and the brightest and the happiest and the ones that want to be at camp for the right reason. So we have an extensive interview process still. We're re-interviewing every counselor, even if they have been with us for a couple of years. Everybody took a year off last year. So we're just seeing, we're meeting everybody and sitting down with them and having nice interviews. We've actually had many of them come up during our Super Saturday in our spring camp, and they're working right now. New staff, after we interview them, we say, would you like to work tomorrow or at their spring camp? And they'll follow another experienced counselor since they haven't been through formal training, and just to see how they interact with children. So the interview process has been very fun actually this year, in that we're doing it during spring camps and our super, or we've done it during spring camp, and we'll continue during our super Saturdays. And it's just a real kind of a test almost, because we'll say, you know, why don't you go play duck, duck, goose right now? You got another half hour of part of this interview, or why don't you go on the work with our arts and crafts project right now? And we'll see them interact with other counselors and the children at that point. So it's been very helpful. One other thing I want to talk about COVID real quick is the pool and the social distancing. The pool is an area where we don't have to wear masks. And the protocols say you have to social distance to the extent possible in the pool. Fortunately for Camp Keystone, we have a very large aquatics area. I have a 274-foot water slide that naturally social distance. I have a large seating area with individual tables where counselors and campers can sit and play board games. We have plenty of deck space to lay in the sun, and we have a very large pool. But how do you maintain social distancing in a pool was really the question. And we've hired an activities pool director to organize games to keep kids naturally social distance without thinking about it. What we have found over spring camp in the 2 weeks we did open the pool up was with the older kids, social distancing in the pool is only really an issue if I overcrowd the pool. If I keep my numbers small, they just seem to naturally spread out without any real coercion or discussion about it. We talk about it, but we don't have to like blow our whistle, say, get apart. We don't have to do that. We're not yelling and screaming, which I don't want to do at all. And make them aware of things. I just want them to play. The little children, the junior campers, the 3 to 5 year olds, yeah, they have to be very closely supervised with staff. Many of them are non-swimmers or poor swimmers, and we always have treated them differently. So the big camp, we will be providing activities, the water slide naturally, social distances one at a time. It's easy to social distance on the stairs. Our seating area, our pool, it's all easy. In the water itself, it happens. Our lifeguards are aware of it. One day I gave everybody noodles in the pool. We had 30 kids in the pool, the big pool. Our pool can handle 90 kids, according to the health department. I'm licensed to have 90 children at one time in my pool. I will never do that. It's too crowded. But we had 30 children in there, good swimmers, gave them all noodles. And because they were all on noodles, they stayed apart. They were just splashing and swimming. It was just like the natural thing. They would sit on them and there was noodles around and it was just fun. So we'll use tools like that to swimming. So we're not blowing our whistle. The only reason we're blowing our whistle at our pool is to don't run, walk, you know, walk, walk, don't run. That kind of whistle blowing you have to do as a reminder because kids are so anxious. So it worked really well. For the little tiny kids, the junior campers, I'm happy to say every single staff person we've offered the letter to go get a vaccine has taken us up on that. All our staffs right now, I'm 100% vaccinated for everybody we've hired. They either have one shot or they're getting them right now or they're getting their second shot. So in the pool, the only counselors that will get close to a camper in that situation of a 3 or 4 or 5 year old will be vaccinated, fully vaccinated staff. You know, and that's what we're going to do there. And I've talked to parents about that, and they're very comfortable with that situation.
And that stuff is in addition to your lifeguards, right? Because the lifeguards are. Right. I mean, they're watching the kids. They're making sure they have their own job separate of the counselors doing the activities.
Their eyes are in the chair on the pool. Right. We use our counselors and our other staff to help out in the water. Absolutely. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, no, I want to make sure. I do remember always seeing, I believe, like 2 lifeguards on duty at a time or possibly in a rotation, 1 or 2.
No, we have more always. We usually have 3. Oh, wow. At least 3 on the big pool and 2 on the water slide.
So a little bit more on what you learned through this process, because, you know, last year you didn't have full summer camp, obviously, but you did have some summer experiences, very small, very spaced out. I actually even went to one of your family days, 1 or 2 of them, and, you know, kind of picnic on the grass. And then you did, I believe, like a Labor Day, and you had some after school programming, even though kids were still doing distance learning or homeschool. And now you've evolved quite a bit. You've got your Super Saturdays and your stay and play. Now, those are not drop-off experiences. So your first return to drop-off experience was your spring break camp, correct?
Well, winter camp. We ran a 3-day winter camp, and that got me set up for spring camp with the new seating and everything else. So I did a 3-day winter camp, which really was a drop off. And then we rolled into Super Saturdays and spring camp when the weather was fine.
So between winter camp and spring break, did you have any big differences? And what was your feedback from parents? Like, were there those aha moments like, oh, wow, we can actually take a breath and feel safe and the kids can get out? I'm sure so many kids were so anxious. What was the feedback from parents on those drop-off days?
They were very grateful. Well, let's just talk about winter camp first. So there was a moment, the very first day of winter camp. I remember it was a Wednesday. We did a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. After about 20 children were dropped off in the parking lot, we sent them over to the main area where they were to meet the counselor. There was a real quiet in the area. They were just like looking around. You can see they'd been locked up. They were tentative. And then after about 15 minutes while we're waiting for all the children to arrive to start the program, one like 10-year-old girl literally started to run on the grass and started to smile and scream and yell. And then all 20 kids started to run spontaneously on the lawn. And they all started just yelling and screaming with almost like their hands in the air, playing tag, laughing, all had their masks on. And they just were running. And one of the staff said, what should we do? They're just running. And I said, let them run. Just let them run. It was a moment of spontaneous joy. And in about 15 minutes, they settled down. They came back and they were laughing. Other kids were running. And it was just like this moment of real freedom that you can see that they had been pent up for months and months and months. Then we ran the camp. It went well. It was very fun. We didn't swim that period. I learned about the tables. Then we moved into spring camp. And I guess some of the bigger lessons are, I think it just becomes a moment where parents have to understand that their kids really do need this. I say this to parents at open houses, right? And I said, whatever you do, please get your kids outside this summer. Go to a quality summer camp. Find some grass. Find some trees. And don't worry about anything other than the group experience. Let them connect with other kids. I tell them one of the Super Saturdays, we ran a talent show, a spontaneous talent show. And as I tell parents, it was a talent show with the least amount of talent I've ever seen in 25 years of running camp. But it was probably the best talent show we've ever done. The kids just wanted to be on stage and do something and have everybody applaud. They wanted that recognition, that sense of community. I remember a little 5-year-old boy had no talent, but what he decided to do is he went on stage and he literally ran back and forth across the stage 5 times. As our MC said, look at how fast he's going. He's like lightning. And he ran and people are cheering and screaming for this little boy running on stage back and forth. No talent, but it was great fun. And they all applauded and supported each other. So really, that's what we're doing here now. That's what camp is. One other real quick story on this. Recently, we had a returning family who's been to camp for many years. They came to a Super Saturday. They brought one of their neighbor friends. They saw our list of activities, and the mother wrote a letter that we didn't provide all the activities listed on the website or on the Super Saturday program. And that's meant for a 5-day program. We can't run a climbing wall, an acro flyer, blah, 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 12 pieces of equipment in one day and then do 5 arts and crafts projects and, you know, talent show and bingo and everything else. And I said, no, that's over a 5-day period. Please understand that. She goes, well, I feel like you were just babysitting our children then if they don't do all these things. And this is a family who's been to camp many times. And I said, I think you've missed the whole point of what camp is. It's not about the activities. It's about how much fun your child have, and did they connect with the counselor and with the camper? She goes, oh, no, don't get me wrong. My child loved it. She wants to be a counselor there someday. She loves your program, but she didn't go on the XYZ activity. And you did a lot of bingo that day. And I go, well, yeah, we did a lot of bingo. You know why we did a lot of bingo? It was going so well. We kept going. I have never seen such enthusiastic bingo ever. And my directors and my staff are not going to stop something when we're doing really good. When the kids are screaming and yelling and being happy, why would I stop that to go on a climbing wall if they're having so much fun as a group? That is the single most important thing we can do. It's not about the individual experiences. She agreed with me and they're coming back and they're all happy. But I want parents to remember it's not. Oh, one other thing she said. Well, it's a nice arts and crafts project, but I can do that with my child at my kitchen table. And I said, honestly, you can't do what we do at camp at your kitchen table. I've yet to see a mother sit with a child for an hour doing and laughing and talking and doing a great arts and crafts experience, and other things are happening. When you do a simple arts and crafts project, it's not about the project. It's about the interactions with the campers and the counselor. You're not a counselor. It's a different environment. She accepted that too. And parents need to realize that's what this is. It's not about the activities. Camp Keystone has clearly some of the biggest and best activities. It's really just an opportunity to create shared experiences. If you lose sight of that, then you don't get what we do here. We're not Disneyland. We're a shared experience. I'll give you one more quick example. I have a surf simulator. Okay. It's a mechanical piece of equipment. It goes very slow. It's a surfboard on a giant air pad. Kids stand on that and they ride the board until they fall off. Now, I guarantee you, Lori, if you went down with your daughters and did this, you'd have okay time. They do it with you, you know, and they fall off and you'd have a quick chuckle. But when they do it at camp, the whole group is watching and cheering. They're looking at the timer. I remember the last time I saw this, I was out there and there was a young girl named Don Lay who was on the surf simulator. And she was intently staring at her timer and she had just set a new group record and the whole group was yelling and cheering. That will never happen with a parent and a child doing these things alone. It just doesn't happen. So that's the magic of camp. That's what parents, when that woman said, I don't have to spend $80 for you to babysit my child. I go, yeah, you're right. You don't. And you shouldn't spend $80 to babysit. But honestly, that $80 was the best $80 you spent for that Saturday at last weekend, because I know your daughter had a great time and all the other kids and the staff loved it. So I hope parents remember that.
I want to offer some feedback about that. And it's not something I even thought about until you just brought it up. So first of all, it's like you're also allowing kids to kind of create their own experience. If they're having fun doing one thing, why shift them in another direction? But my two girls attended the spring break camp. Gianna is 13, so she's heading into, you know, the counselor zone here pretty soon. And Amanda is in fourth grade, 10 years old. And, you know, they unpack their bag after coming back from a day of camp. And they had crafts. And I was looking at them, and there were beautiful projects, but I was a little surprised that Gianna participated in it because it looked a little youthful for a teenager. And now that I look back, I even said, oh, I'm surprised you did this. Well, everybody was doing it and they were all having so much fun. There you go. Is that a project I could probably do with her at the table here? Just because I said, we have paints, we have sand, we have glitter, we have glue, we have, you know, paper plates, let's do this. She probably would have been like, you know, rolling her eyes and wanting to do iPads or something else. But because everybody was doing it and the energy and the music and it was, you know, a collective experience, she brought home a lovely project and hung it on her wall.
There you go. So and the other thing that'll happen a little different from Super Saturdays or even spring camp, we realized, is because we're running camp 5 days now, you can't come Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday. We're doing 5 days for COVID. We're going to have the projects be a bit more challenging. So now when a 12-year-old child is at camp and it may be a 2 or 3 day project, you know, we can do an elaborate papier-mâché kind of thing where one day you're building it, another day you're painting it, and then you're doing other things. We used to try to do projects like on the Saturday program you saw or during spring camp. You know, we get it done in 45 minutes, beginning to end. And sometimes those have to be simple because you don't have the time. But this summer, we're going to do more involved projects around the themes each theme week because we have the time and we're not having the daily changes. So we'll get better projects, but they're all good. They're all fun. They do like to do them. And that's what it's all about. Thank you for recognizing that now.
Yeah. So let me ask you about summer then. So last year you sprinkled in some family events. I think you did something around, you know, again, Labor Day and 4th of July, Father's Day. We missed Mother's Day. We're still really, really locked down at that point. What does this summer look for? Are you able to balance shift, you know, the focus of summer camp and also have some family events and juggle both? Or are you strictly now focused, you know, it's all of your energy is in summer camp?
Well, we have two companies up at the property. One is the summer camp that's in full gear. You know, 99% of my energy is on camp right now, but we also do corporate events. Corporate events won't be coming back strong yet. We're hoping for August, September. We're still locked down. Corporations, even if they said to us tomorrow, you're allowed to have company picnics on the weekends, companies are not going to just jump back into it too quickly. They're a little too nervous about their liability hosting company-sponsored events. So I'm not sure what we're going to be doing this summer. We have a lot of school events currently, you know, graduation parties for fifth grade and high school. We have an event on this Friday, actually, with a private school locally with the seniors. They've missed their environmental trips. And this is the first time all school year that all 110 seniors are getting together. And in fact, they're using my little tables for social distancing. We had to finish building them this week just for that event because the school has, you know, very strict rules about everything, fully chaperoned. So we're doing more and more events like that right now. What I'm going to do in terms of family programs, I'm not sure yet. I've got to get camp started. I want to see where we're at. Those things we can start promoting, you know, 3 weeks out as we move closer to summer.
All right. Well, as we kind of wrap up here, because like I said, I appreciate you being my go-to. I have questions as a parent, you know, about summer camp and what that's going to look like. And I hope it's successful for everyone who is following protocol. But, you know, this is just to clarify, this is about the kids. You know, I know the parents have needs. They want certain experiences, but it's about what, you know, the kids really want. So as we kind of step away here, what is the big takeaway for kids to date with the programming that you've, you know, held over the last, you know, 6 months or almost even a year? Yeah, not quite a year, right? And what will be that big takeaway moving forward?
I said it earlier. Every parent needs to get their children outside for just fun this summer. Don't worry about robotics camp. They need the socialization. And parents need to realize that it's not going to be an easy summer. We've seen kids act up unnecessarily. We've seen more behavioral issues, even in our small program. Everybody needs to take a breath and let the process work its way through and give us a chance to work with each child. And because it's hard. Some of the kids are not doing, have not done well the first couple of days at camp. They are acting up. They are in the same way parents act up sometimes. You know, strange phone calls. I go, seriously? This is what you're worried about right now? You got to look at the bigger picture on all these things. We're gonna handle the COVID side of this. Follow all the protocols. You know, outdoors is the best place to be. I hope the mask mandate goes away sooner than later for the children outside, as long as they feel it's the right thing to do and the government protocols. I mean, that's ultimately what we want to do is just give them a normal summer and just let them be free. That's all. I think it's real easy. And just be patient with everybody, you know, just be patient. Don't, you know, just assume we're all trying to do our best. And, you know, just let us try our best and we'll work through all the situations that may occur.
So I'll make sure your websites are listed in the show notes, but why don't you give us a plug, including maybe deadlines or your dates of running camp?
Well, camp is 9 weeks starting mid June. I don't know the exact dates, but it's coming up here pretty quick. Last week, we did have 4 phone calls asking us if we were full. And I'm not one to like say, oh, yeah, hurry, hurry. But at this point, we are getting full on some of the weeks. The younger your child, that 6-7-year-old age, fills up quicker than the 11 and 12 and 13 year olds. That just naturally happens at camp. We're going to limit camp. You know, we're going to close it out and that's that. So sign up when you're ready and we still have space. So I think by May 1, some of my younger groups will start closing out some of the weeks. And that's it. You know, there'll be a good summer. I expect to be, you know, full. I don't think we're going to have a problem. We're not going for a big camp. We're going for a quality camp. my numbers are going to be much smaller just because it's actually more fun to operate when it's a little smaller, less headaches and everything else, and it'll be easier on everybody because we need a good summer. Everybody needs a good summer this year.
And your new website is up, campkeystone.com.
Thank you. Yes, it is.
You can register online. And I want to thank you for powering through COVID-19 and doing this for the kids and the family. And obviously, we all want, you know, to keep our businesses in operation as well. But I know you've had health, you know, top of mind for everybody, making sure that everybody feels good and they feel like they're coming into a healthy environment. And it doesn't necessarily shift the experience of camp and, you know, playtime. So I want to thank you so much for that focus.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Maybe we'll do a round three here on this and talk about, you know, how did summer camp go and what does the fall look like? You're my go-to in the summer camp category. And, okay. You know, I hope that other camps do have successes. It sounds like you're on the way. And yeah. Thank you again.
I hope everybody's successful this summer. They all need it. So, yes, thanks very much for your time. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks, Larry. Thank you so much for listening today. And please subscribe to our podcast so that you can be alerted each time we drop a new episode. For bonus content, be sure to join us as a member and receive Green Room Diaries, After the Final Cut, Confessions of a Canoe Valley Mom, as well as our exclusive wellness workshops. From one parent to another, we've got this. Just believe in yourself and remember, we're our own worst critics. Tell yourself and another that they're doing a good job.